So what I was saying was that a good character really is not just for the moment. A good character, a good attitude is really part of a person's character. You know them to have a good attitude. Most of the time that you see them, they're going to have a good attitude. On the flip side of that, a bad attitude takes a lot of energy.
Amen. Amen.
It takes a lot of energy to be mean and nasty. It takes a lot of energy. To go out of your way to make sure that everybody know you in the house. It takes a lot of energy to absolutely just have a nasty attitude.
That's the truth.
Yes, yes.
That's the truth.
To be mean to somebody, to one in particular person, it takes a lot of time and effort. And after you run out of stuff to say that's mean, you almost have to think up stuff to say. Because naturally, spiritually, we weren't meant to carry a bad attitude. A bad attitude makes people not want to talk to you.
Talk about it. Talk about it.
Am I talking to anybody here?
Yes.
Amen.
Bad attitude makes people not want to associate with you.
That's right.
Not that talking behind your back is a good thing, but a bad attitude will cause folk to talk about you when you ain't there.
Yes,
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it happens more often.
Well, now.
A nasty, mean, cantankerous person that nobody wants to be around because your attitude is foul.
Come on now. All right.
People have a tendency, your reputation has a tendency to precede you before you encounter them in the physical.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Whether you realize it or not, any type of attitude is a direct result of your personal perspective.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's really how you see the world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk to y'all because some of y'all see the world foul. Mm-hmm. It's how you have interpreted life. It is your, listen to this now, this is where we get a little deep. It's your personal history. Past events in your life that have absolutely caused you to look at life in a certain way.
Yes.
Which is usually less than God's perspective.
Yes.
For example, I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but there are some people that we know who have been abandoned by parents.
Yes.
Who have had to care for themselves.
Yes.
Maybe even their siblings since they were young. And so maybe as a result of that, there is an issue of trust. There is a spirit of determination now. Maybe sometimes focused on materialism because those things that you did not have now, you focus on those things because you didn't have them as a child and you don't want your children to know what it's like. To go without. You can remember the time that you felt the hunger pains because nobody was there to feed you. Or maybe you had to go to the grocery store and steal some things.
Well, now, all right.
Talk about it.
You had to take care of loved ones and you were only a child yourself and didn't realize that you were put in a precarious position of going out and supplying food, and you were nowhere near the age of workability. So you had to make things work because parents, maybe they were drunk, maybe they were on drugs, maybe they just left you there, maybe they didn't take care of you, maybe they presented you with some things that just weren't right. And you learned how to take care of yourself and those that were younger than you. We have people that have suffered through drug situations, either themselves or with family and close friends. And if you've ever been involved with somebody that has a drug or alcohol or a substance abuse issue, you know that that is a tedious situation.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
It causes a certain attitude to come upon you. Some of us get indignant because we get tired of taking care of them folk that don't even want to take care of themselves.
Yeah. All right now. Yeah.
And you get a little bit ambivalent. You get a little bit upset because people aren't doing what they need to be doing. Mm-hmm. And here you are trying to take care of them, and they act in a pure fool.
Amen.
And then what happens is when you see the effects, I know because I got some things in my life that when I see it up close, it almost makes me twitch in my chair. When I see some things taking place, and some things I'd rather not deal with. And I would venture to say that if I feel like that, that there are some of you that feel the same way I do. Yes. And it has affected your perspective on the world. Yes. There are some people who have suffered through some type of sexual trauma via rape or some type of molestation. And you fight like you know what to make sure that your children don't go through that. And that's why you worry like you lost your mind whenever your children are out of your sight. Because you're concerned about people and how they are today and whether or not your children are with somebody that's going to take advantage of them. Even when you send them to school, you're worried about somebody getting them in the bathroom and undressing them and doing some perverse things to them. And you begin to talk yourself down off the cliff because if you got to go into the school and act a fool, you know that you're going to blow up the whole school and they're going to end up, your kids going to end up visiting you in jail with an orange jumpsuit on. And so you begin to question whether or not you even in the right frame of mind. And if you even got the right thought process, what's really going on here? And that I look at life so just, it's sometimes it seems like it's warped and it takes its toll on you. And that's because what you have been through has become part of who you are.
My Lord.
And as a result, what happens is that we become extremely defensive. We have a hard time trusting anyone. Especially people of the opposite gender. I would venture to say that's why we have so many homosexuals.
Jesus.
I said it, I threw it, don't matter, don't care. It's not really love, it's what you've been through that has caused you to turn and go the other way. Men have done women so wrong. Women have done men so wrong that you'd rather just go and just deal with your own same sex.
Jesus.
Nobody want to admit it, but it's the truth. Our perspective is who we are, and we have become defensive. And really what that means is that it could be a type of mutated fear. Your meanness is a type of mutated fear. You scared of being done wrong again, so you figure I just might as well be mean than allow somebody close to me, get close enough to me to hurt me because I've been hurt before.
Amen.
And what we don't realize is that mutated fear reaches into now from our childhood into our adult lives. And without even realizing, you have cast that spirit down to your children, and they don't even know why you flipping out like the way you do.
Jesus.
And what's funny is that protection, that method of protection, has worked since you were a child, and so you've gotten used to it. It's a pattern. It has become a pattern. It has become a way of living. It is how we make it from day to day. That's how some of y'all make it, by being mean, by protecting, by going into a mode of defensiveness right off the bat, that you don't give nobody the time of day because they got to prove to you in an inordinate amount of time. And what usually would take 3 months to just get you to say hello now is taking you almost a year. You don't want to speak to nobody.
My Lord. Lord.
It's how we make it from day to day. That, and that has worked thus far. And you see, no need for changing it. There's been no necessary reason for you to change the way that you are. You are who you are because that has been what has worked for you down through the years. And so you're now able, now God is trying to bless you. You can't even receive the blessings of God because you're too busy being defensive. You can't even receive when an honest preacher speaks into your life, and you condemn the preacher as somebody because some preacher way back in your history spoke some craziness over your life, and or may I have an adulterous affair, and still got up and preached the word of God, and you figure all preachers, you have now castrated all preachers to be the same way as the preacher you came in contact with. This has worked for you. That's why some of y'all don't give.
Yes.
All preachers must be crooks. Y'all done heard all the stuff on TV, the internet. You done checked that out on your phone. You done seen certain preachers that have been rung up on charges and this, that, and the other. And you charge yourself with saying, this is how it must be across the board. That is what has worked for you down through the years. And you might have even got to a point where you don't even realize that it needs changing.
My God. Yes, yes.
You so comfortable with the regular, you don't even realize that I need to change. That I need deliverance. Hallelujah. What we do not understand is that you got to look past your own perspective, and you got to look at how is it that my attitude can be changed.
Well, amen.
I got a few examples for you.
Come
if you got a little bit of time.
All right.
I got a couple. There was a woman who had an infirmity.
Uh-huh. All right now.
When Jesus showed up and he healed this woman and was made completely well by his touch. Yeah. And until then, she could not even help herself.
That's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What are you saying, preachers? Some of y'all sitting there in doom and gloom and can't even realize you can't even help yourself. You don't talk back to me. I know I'm throwing some rocks that's hitting you between your head, but you can't even realize that you can't even help yourself. And until Jesus touched her, she couldn't even be made whole. But this is what I leave. Love, when Jesus did touch her, some things were unleashed in her. Y'all ain't talking back to me. She was obedient. See, now this is where I'm gonna get some of you, because some of you have allowed your way of living to stop you from being obedient to the will of God. Even though this woman was bent over with a spirit of infirmity for some 18 years, when Jesus touched her, she became immediately healed, and she obeyed the Lord. Y'all talk back to me. She released, listen to this, she released her faith and obedience at the same time in the middle of her despair. Y'all want to talk back to me now, because I challenge you to absolutely release your faith and be obedient to God in the midst of you acting a fool in your own life. I dare you to stand up and say, God, have your way with me. Even though I messed up from the floor up, I dare you. Touch me, heal me in the midst of me.
Come on,
brother. He lifted her burden.
Uh-huh.
She had a burden, y'all. Look at somebody and say, what's your burden? Tell them, don't answer that. All of us us have a burden.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We carrying some stuff.
Yes. That's right.
Got another example.
Oh, yeah.
There were some dudes in the Bible.
Oh.
Who's in Luke chapter 17. Who they called lepers.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
Yes.
And they couldn't even get close
right.
enough to get at the feet of Jesus. They had to because they were unclean.
That's right.
What are you saying, preacher? There are some of y'all that's so nasty and dirty with your life.
Right.
And you couldn't even get close to God.
Right.
Because of the people that's in your way. I didn't say you couldn't get close to God, but God. You can't get close to God because of the people that's judging you. And you got to open up your mouth. And you got to say, hey, Jesus. See, because they called him from afar off. And they say, Jesus, we need you to do something in our life. And these dudes that have been messed up, told up from the flow up, that had some stuff going on with them. Listen to what happened. Oh, somebody say, what happened, preacher? Come on, really. Well, these dudes, they heard Jesus and Jesus turned around. I'm going to tell you right now, when you get Jesus' attention and he turned around and he said, what is it that you want? See, some of y'all ain't expecting Jesus to turn around. But when I call him from afar off, because people won't allow me to get through to my Lord and my Savior, I can call him from afar off. And when he called them, he called, they said, Jesus, he said, I hear you talking. He said, make us whole. They said, make us whole. And what happened was, is that he gave them instruction. He didn't just heal them on the spot. He said, turn and go show the priest. Some of y'all need to show the priest how much God has blessed you.
Amen.
The Bible says that, look, now this is obedience for you. Can you obey God long enough that he don't heal you on the spot, but he tell you to go do something, and on your way from point A to point B? Is made whole.
Yes.
No, they say nothing back to me. I need somebody that can obey Jesus long enough that when God says turn around, that they can turn around and follow Jesus all the way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. There are some of you who will get healed and won't say thank you.
My God.
How many of y'all got kids? You bought them something nice, and they were so excited that they didn't even say thank you, mama. Thank you, daddy. They just ripped open the gift. They just took what you had to give them and went on about their business. I'm looking for one person that can just stop and turn around and say, Lord, I thank you.
Let me help.
I'm gonna step into you now for a minute. Watch this. He stopped his own healing. Y'all ain't talking back to me. He said, by the time you get to the priest, in other words, by the time you get from here to there, you'll be healed. Now watch this. He stopped his own healing because he stopped and turned around.
Uh-oh.